Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Well, hello, radio friends. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, and we are excited about the weekend. Amen. We're coming up real quickly on the weekend, and we're looking forward to being in the house of God on Sunday. Hope you're making your plans right now to be in God's house. If you're born again with the grace of God, you need to go to church. Amen. Support your man of God. Support your preacher. Amen. Get in the choir. Sing and be there for Sunday school. And to make sure that you're there, part of the house of God, part of the worship service on Sunday. And we've got Middle Cross up now. They're going to be singing, "I Need Jesus." Amen. Isn't that the truth? Amen. We all need Jesus. And I know that this is going to be a blessing
Sometimes
to you.
Sometimes I'm discouraged. My load's hard to bear. And I feel myself stumble. Need my load of care. And I ask him this question, oh my Lord, how long? And I hear a voice whisper, 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 soon you'll be coming home. Oh, I need Jesus to carry me through a long life journey. Friend, you need him too. And when you're in trouble, don't know what to do, just call on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He will carry you through. When the storm clouds are raging and the wild billows roll and the sad winds of sorrow sweep over my soul, then I seek for a refuge, a safe hiding place. And I know that he keeps me, keeps me, keeps me by his marvelous grace. Oh, I need Jesus to carry me through a long life's journey. And when you're in trouble, don't know what to do, just call on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He will carry you through. And when you're in trouble, don't know what to do, just call on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He will carry you through.
Amen. All right, that's Middle Cross, and we appreciate them out of Madison County, North Carolina. They've got a good, crisp sound, and they love the Lord. I tell you, they love the Lord. And we thank God for Middle Cross. Amen. As we get into the message today, we're going to be looking at the thought, trading places with a man on death row. And obviously, we're talking about Barabbas. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse number 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of the necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for the certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. We see here the word sedition and insurrection as in other scriptures that speak concerning Barabbas, and that means he was maybe a riotous man, one who caused an uprising of some sort against the government or political party. In other words, all of us understand that Barabbas was a terrorist. He was one who terrorized the town. He terrorized the people. Some sources say that he was causing riots against the government to overthrow or to take it down. We also know that he was a murderer. It is probable that these murders took place while trying to overthrow those who were in authority. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no fault in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. I have talked to people before that do not understand why that Jesus came to this earth and why that Jesus died. They ask questions like this. I've been told that Jesus died for my sins, but what does that mean exactly? They also ask, how could the death of Jesus help me get into heaven? But they also wonder, what does the death of Christ save me from? Well, I'd like to address some of these questions this evening while I preach on the subject, trading places with a man on death row. In this short portion of Scripture, we find several things. Number one, we see that Barabbas was guilty, just as we are all guilty. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We see that Jesus was innocent. We also see, number three, we see that Barabbas lived. He was set free, and his sins were gone. But then, number four, we see that Jesus died. Now, there is a doctrine that we teach called the doctrine of substitution. That word substitution brings to mind the thought to exchange or to put in place of another. In the very heart of the gospel message, we find that Jesus died for us. We find over there in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. With all the guilt and with all the shame of sin, we deserve to die. The penalty, according to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the sentence of death was upon us. In order for holy God to forgive and to save any sinner, the penalty of sin must be satisfied. And so Jesus going to the cross, a cross that was not his, and dying a death for sin that he did not commit, he not only took the place of Barabbas, but he took my place and he took your place on that cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." By shedding his blood on the cross, Jesus took the punishment we deserve and offered us his righteousness. I can't wrap my mind around that right there. When God looks at me, he looked at Jesus on the cross and he saw my sin. But when Christ finished the death, now when God looks at me, he sees Christ in me. He sees the righteousness of God in me. By faith, we trade our sin and its accompanying death penalty for his righteousness and life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were all sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." I like what one preacher said. He said, "The beauty of the gospel shines forth from this story. Jesus, the innocent, takes the place of Barabbas, the guilty. A sinner goes free, an innocent man dies. Thus, in the great wisdom of God, what should have been a catastrophe, the death of God's Son, provides salvation to the world." What a Christ! What a great salvation! Jesus traded places with a man on death row. But Jesus did not just trade places with one man. He took all of man's sin. He died for you and he died for me. He took our guilt. He took our shame and he nailed them to his tree. Colossians chapter number 2, verse 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." In other words, no matter what you've done today, no matter where you've been, no matter what circumstances that you're in right now, Jesus, God's Son, died for you. He died in your place. He paid for your sin. He took your penalty and your death upon the cross of Calvary, that you, just like Barabbas, could go free. You say, "Preacher, how could I be saved?" The Bible said in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You say, "Preacher, I don't deserve to be saved." Friend, I want you to know today, I'm in the same boat that you're in. I didn't deserve to be saved neither. But I want to tell you something, that the grace of God, Jesus died that we might be saved. And friend, all you got to do is ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible said in Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," meaning that all you need to do is call out to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. Turn your life over to him. Then the Bible says that we need to believe, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But this only happens if we confess him as Lord. I think that this is where a lot of folks have trouble. They want forgiveness without making Jesus Christ part of their life. He's got to be Lord. That's about all the time we have for the broadcast today, friend. Hope you have a Christ-filled day.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.